John Chaplin, some of you probably know this, but you can hear it again. So this is John Chaplin, and a new prisoner come in, and had to have an interview with the John Chaplin, and some prisoners, like John and the scribe, but some of them, especially the first time around, it was a very, very traumatic experience. They suddenly realized their freedom has been taken away, and I think their thumbprints, they're no longer just a number, and fitting into that system is very, very traumatic. And this particular guy was making hard time of it. Sat down with the chaplain, and the chaplain said, look, I think I might be able to help you. Can we make an appointment for a few days' time? But in the meantime, can I give you a book to read? And he gave him a small copy of one of the books of the Bible. And the guy went off. A few days later, the chaplain was back in the prison, and this guy came to see me angry. Angry, I mean really angry. Why did you give me that book? You set my hopes up, you built me up. I was so excited as I read about the life of Jesus, and I realized what a wonderful person he was. And then the book finished with them taking him and nailing him up on a cross, executing him, killing him, and he's dead and finished. Just another martyr. And the chaplain said, man, hold on a second. You had a look at that Bible. You had a look at the Bible and discovered, as often happened in prisons in those days, I've been doing so much now because I'm not allowed to smoke in the car. In those days, the guys were allocated so much tobacco each week, but on their cigarette papers. And so they used to lock in the Bible and just tearing out the back page. Yes. The back page. And then the books they had here at the back page. And this particular book they had torn out. This they took out with something like this. Can I just say that? My definition's pretty good. Saturday is very good. But in all the middle of that weakness, Sunday comes. And in the middle of our weakest day, we can remember Sunday comes. Sunday comes. We're looking forward to a day, because of the day of resurrection, we can look forward to a day. Sunday's coming. And he took the book and he gave him another copy and said, you know, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came up to see the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the second sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, they were very much perplexed. But behold, there were two men standing by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Now remember his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, to all the rest, to Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them. He told these things unto the apostles, and their words seized them as idle tongues, that they believed. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, and stopping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering himself all that had come to pass. Later that day, Jesus appeared to them as we saw in the foot before. I almost cancelled the sermon today. I listened to that kid's story, I saw that play, and I said, why would I waste my time preaching when you've already heard the word so wonderfully? Hey guys, that was really good. Thank you. Thank you. Prince of Light overcomes the Prince of Darkness every single time. Ah, yes. Happened a couple of months ago in Japan. Bit of a sad incident where a motor vehicle travelling down a roadway and swinging into the back of a parked truck. Terrific wreckage. And second, Your Honor, Mr. God, bless me with his kind, taking him out. Some of the locals said, yes, we know the people, we know the God, and his brother-in-law works just up the road. And so they sent somebody to get his brother-in-law, and his brother-in-law was taken eventually to the morgue, you know, the whole scene. Horrible, horrible. He went there and identified the body of his brother-in-law. And then he went home and told his sister, oh, I'm sorry, his husband has passed away. He'd killed him in a horrible accident. And the word quickly spread among family and people came around. And it was just such a horrible, horrible afternoon. Evening, people brought a meal and they sat around, nobody feeling hungry. But they're still crying, there's more visitors come, they're crying some more. About 10 o'clock that night, there was a knock at the door, and they went to check, and there was a policeman there, and the policeman said, I bought your husband. I said, yeah, no, no, you can't, he didn't care. No, 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 no. I bought your husband. But it turned out that the man had been at work, apparently an afternoon shift. While he was working, somebody had stolen his car and run into the back of the truck. Looked enough like him, so that well, as he knocked around, he was mistaken. And he was unaware that his family were waiting for him. And when he knocked off work, the car was missing. And then we went down to the police station and said, I'm Joe Grob, or whatever his name was, and I've come because somebody has stolen it. They looked at me, you can't be Joe Grob because Joe Bob was dead. He got his body up on the board and we're this one doing your hand. No, 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 I'm Joe Bob. And so it took about an hour and a half before the police, because the police officer had never had an occasion where somebody who's dead come along to report his car bit something. They don't know how to handle that. And eventually they worked out what had happened. And went, can you imagine the horror of that family? All of a sudden translated into the joy and the rejoicing of that family. It's enormous, isn't it? Fact is, in life, we have some events that bring sorrow. We have some events that bring us joy. We have some events that bring us deeper sorrow. Some events that bring us greater joy. Some events that bring us deep, deep, deep sorrow, and some events, like that Japanese family, that bring us great joy. Paul the Apostle made the point in Romans chapter 8 that Jesus is risen from the dead. We are the most miserable people on earth. Can't say that again. If Jesus, and there were some arguments about, sorry, did I say Romans 8? Let's try Romans, 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, there were people who were arguing about the possibility of resurrection. And in the middle of that discussion, Paul raises the point and says, if Christ is risen from the dead, we are the most miserable people on earth. I've got news for you. Number one, Jesus is risen from the dead. But did I mention that we have events in our lives that bring us sorrow and others that bring us joy? I've got news for you. I've got good news for you. He is risen from the dead. And we no longer have to worry about the sorrow part, but he brings unimaginable joy when we realize that our Savior died for our sins, but God has raised him again, and he lives, and is coming again, and we live in the power and the strength of his resurrection. Mm-hmm. I better go back to the great quote that I was talking about before in Romans chapter 8. There's a verse tucked away in Romans chapter 8, and it says, read it. It's the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Jesus raised himself from the dead. He raised himself from the dead. He forecast and predicted that it was going to happen. The Spirit of God went into that grave and touched that body, and his spirit came back in, and he was resurrected. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that's almost unbelievable, isn't it? Is it possible that that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is it possible that that same spirit could somehow or other touch you and me? Paul says it so clearly. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in us, not just touch us, but dwell in us, if he does, he will, and I love the King James, other versions sort of water it down, but it says he will quicken our mortal bodies. He will quicken our mortal bodies. He will bring new life into our very human frame. He will bring a dimension of life that we cannot get any other way. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken your mortal body. If that spirit dwells in us. Hey, Resurrection Sunday isn't only about the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. It is the fact that God raised him from the dead, but he has also made available to every one of us quickening of our mortal bodies. My hand being old and wrinkled. Shows me arms. Shows me legs. Shows me face. Shows me haircut, thank you. Oh, remember that. At least he was honest, or dishonest enough to mention that I had some hair left. But the fact is, I live in a very human, mortal body, and it is going to die. But believe me, inside of that, it's not aging. It's something old.
That's right.
It has been quickened and is quickening. And God is quickening that in an ongoing thing. And it makes a huge change in how we live, what we do in our lives. Matter of fact, we turn to Mark chapter 16. Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And whoever does not believe will be condemned. That's a word of warning for all of us. We must believe. We must follow him. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. When they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in us, he quickens us. He makes us alive in a way that we can never be in the natural. I don't care how good your doctor is, he can't place his hands on you and you'll be healed. He's going to have to do certain other things, inject certain things, hit certain medicines, but he can't just touch you and you'll be healed by the power of God. Heals people. Makes a difference. It's not our mortal body that does it. It's this power of the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. When I was a young fella, it was long enough ago, when I was in, most of my story started out something like that. I remember when, a long time ago, when I was a young fella, I met an older guy by the name of Willie Burton. Now, he was an old, I think he was really old, probably about 60 or so. But Willie Burton was one of the original missionaries in Africa who found his way up into the Congo. He had a call of God on his life to go to the Congo. He gone to South Africa, been involved there, but then the folks there were going to support him, were going to help him, and so he made his own way. He had a call of God to go and reach the peoples within the Congo. He went there, and when he got there, surprise, surprise, he doesn't understand a word they said. They hadn't seen a white man before. They didn't understand a word he said. So somehow or other he made some sign language that was able to get them, and they made a little hut for him out of sort of bark, the way they made their own huts. And he established that he was able to try and negotiate for some food, but they'd never seen money before. And they weren't interested in his money, it was worthless. But eventually they got the message and they bought some food for him. And he established himself unable to communicate any way at all. They're horribly lonely, and he didn't know what he was wanting to preach to them, but they didn't understand him, and he couldn't understand them. And the first Sunday he was there, and he just felt an urge and urgency. I've got to preach the gospel. There's nobody here. And he felt in himself, I've got to do it anyhow. And he walked outside the little shelter that they made for him, and he stood out there, and he started preaching. Nobody could understand him, and they sort of came by and looked and listened for a few minutes. But after a few minutes, he suddenly found that his mouth wouldn't work properly. He tried talking in English, but every time he opened his mouth, strange sounds came out. And people stopped and studied and listened. And he kept going with these strange noises, strange sounds, strange words. It was almost like he was talking in a foreign language, but he didn't understand it either. But the people came past and they stood and listened, and some of them sat down and went out and listened and listened and listened. And after a while, it dried up and he couldn't talk anymore, and he went back inside and people went away. But afterwards he was down in the marketplace and walking around looking at it, and they were coming, oh yeah, look at the good one, look, 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 and he asked him. Next Sunday, same thing happened. He found himself outside his hut preaching, no longer in English. He found out afterwards. Manifestation of what was inscribed with this same. If this same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken your mortal body. And he found himself doing what Jesus described in the book of Mark, who was speaking in the new tongue. He ended up learning their language and found that this disappeared from him. But for 6 or 8 months, every Sunday, he was preaching a sermon that he could understand himself. They all understood it. Reminds me of a young German guy. His father was a Lutheran preacher, and his brother was very, very clever, and so his father had nominated that his brother was going to be a preacher like the father. And Lionel, the brother, was not right enough to be a preacher. He had a heart inside of him for Africa. And eventually he managed to get his way through college and eventually was taken to Africa. And in Africa, he was part of a mission team, but he was just a general golf player. He was just a run-around kid. They didn't get him preaching, they didn't get him doing anything. He was just a run-around sort of a servant. And on one occasion, they said to him, we're going to have a big campaign, there's going to be thousands of people behind a big auditorium, and we have a guest speaker coming. Your job will be to go pick him up from the airport, take him to his hotel, drive him back to the auditorium, bring him back to the backwards and forwards. That's your job for the next 2 weeks, or however long the campaign's going to be. That's what you're doing. And so, Ronald went and picked the guy up from the airport, delivered him to the hotel, made arrangements. I'll pick you up at 9 o'clock the next morning. The next 9 o'clock next morning, he went to the hotel, and there was this guest speaker standing outside with all his bags. And he said, I'm just waiting for a taxi to take me to the airport. But you are to go back, and you're to tell the readers that you are to preach to that campaign in that auditorium. I can't preach. I can't preach. How could I preach? I've hardly preached in my life. I can't preach to thousands of people. I thought I can't do it. And he said, God has spoken to me. You know, mentioned that if this same spirit raised Christ from the dead, he takes our humanness, our weakness. And I went back and people weren't terribly happy, but St. Augustine had said that he had really dug out in the platform. And he started scattering and stuttering and stammering away through a very, very mediocre message. But as he was trying to preach, he suddenly felt Spirit speaking to him. There are people here who are blind or serious problems with their eyes. In Africa, every town you go through, you will see a guy walking along with a young lad in front, sick between the young lad leading him in the way. Try preaching over the top of his voice inside him, it didn't work. Eventually he said, I don't know what this is all about, but I just feel there are some people here who are blind or have serious problems with their eyesight. I just want to pray for you right now. And as he started to pray, all of a sudden there was a yell from over here, a cry from over here, a howl from over here. And he looked over here and there's somebody up and dancing, a whole group of people around him dancing with him. He turned out, I don't remember the figure, I think it was 10 or 12, people who had come to that meeting totally blind had been healed on the spot. Guess what? They didn't argue about who was going to be their speaker the following night. Or the following night. And those of you who followed the life of Reinhard Bonnke in Africa, we commemorated Billy Graham and his passing. We honored him in our Western society. But if you take Billy Graham off lightning by 10, we start talking in terms of growing up on him. He was a boy that was too young to be a preacher. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead and supported the people and makes them extraordinary. But what about you, Mick? I'm that right up on him. I recognise that. But some years ago, I was in church and lady came into the church and she said, please help me out, please pray for me. She'd taken a fall, and in the fall she twisted her shoulder. I'm a doctor, but from what she was describing, I think she'd torn her rotator cuff and done it really bad. She used the arm above there, and if she tried to lift it using the other arm, it would scream in the pain. Please pray for me. She'd given herself there driving across like that one. I said, yes, some of the folks who were there, come and join me, we'll pray together. And we got a bottle of oil and anointed her with oil. I believe very strongly what the Bible says, if any is sick among you, then call on the elders in a prayer of faith for you. And I anointed her. And then I took a bottle of oil, and I turned around, and I walked back to put the bottle of oil down. And as I turned around to walk back, all of a sudden she was waving her arm in the air and cooing like something crazy. What had happened? While I was away, some of you will know the army. You know the army cooks down at Leonie Denison, sweet little Leonie, stood beside her and just reached out her hand and said, look, you are. The lady had put her arm and realized it was other than Leonie. She thought it was me. She thought it was the pastor. Doesn't need to pass it up. It's a secret. The lady of Christ dwell in us. Sweet little girl, and turned her into a new creature. And in this church, we've had a number of miracles where Pastor Jim has prayed for people and they have been supernatural healing. Why? Because he's a great doctor, because this Edison had another door. He goes to that fire hour. Oh, Jesus. He celebrated. Cross that out again. We celebrate this guy because we remember that our Savior, who was crucified for our sins, raised again. We also celebrate because of that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwell in us, and we can invite Him to awaken us in ways that we would never dream or imagine, but only God knows what He has planned. Invite him as your Savior. And if you've invited Him as your Savior, also invite Him to impart the power of His Holy Spirit in your life. That is our religion. Heavenly Father, your word, you can read it in this congregation so many ways this morning, so many different ways. My Christ, which you give to us, it changes in ways. I don't know everybody who did the whole bunch of these things. There's a lot of fun, really good to have it in. It is possible that there's somebody or somebody speaking who has never ever asked Jesus into their lives, but never accepted Him as their Savior. Can I encourage you today? Today would be a special moment. It would be my special, special privilege to take 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So that you can invite Him into your life and know the change that only He can bring. I invite you into your life. Thank you. You can think of the upper part of one more song.